And we will begin on Daf Chav Zayin Amud Aleph, six lines from the top. Rabbi Yehuda Nasiya. As we learned yesterday, we had a machlokes in the Mishnah between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon, if Royim Mumim B'Yontif. Rabbi Yehuda held that Royim Mumim B'Yontif were allowed to examine a Bechor and declare it a Baal Mum on Yontif. And Shimon says we may not. And the sugya we're going to have now is to discuss what is the halacha, says the Gemara. Yehuda Nasiya Havalayahu Bukhra. Yehuda Nasiya had a Bukhar, and as Rashi with the Simchas Yontif explains the Gemara, Rabbi Yehuda had Kohanim as his guest, and he held that even though, as we explained yesterday, a Bukhar that's a Balmum may be eaten even by Yisrael, he held that preferably it should be eaten by Kohanim. He invited Kohanim to eat at his table, and therefore he didn't want to judge himself on this Bechor, because he was in the Geba Dabba, he was partial, because if it was a Baal Mum, he could feed them. So what he did was, Shadri L'Kamei and Rav Ami. So it was Yontif, and he sent it to Rav Ami to examine. Sover, Deloy Lemechsia. So Rav Ami was reluctant to examine it because he said, Rav Shimon says, you're not allowed to examine Bechorim and Yontif. Omle Rav Zreika, Vitaim Rav Yemi. So Rav Zreika or Rav Yemi told him, don't we have a rule throughout Shas that Rav Yehuda Rav Shimon, Allah Rav Yehuda? Don't we have a machlokes Rav Yehuda Rav Shimon, we passing like Rav Yehuda? And Rav Yehuda holds that it's mutter. So why are you not examining the Bechor? So given that Rav Ami didn't want to examine it, they sent it to Rav Yitzchak Nafcha. He too, Sava Deloy Lemechsi, was reluctant to examine it. And again, Amlei Rav Yirmi Vitaim Rav Zreika, don't we have a rule that Rav Yehuda Rav Shimon Alok Rav Yehuda? Don't we have Machlokes Rav Yehuda Rav Shimon, we go with Rav Yehuda. Rav Yehuda says we're allowed to examine it. So why are you not examining it? Amlei Rav Abba. So Rav Abba says to him, my tama lo shaftinu l'rabbanan l'mevet of the Rav Shimon. Why don't you let the Rabbanan act like Rav Shimon? Every time somebody wants to act according to Rav Shimon and not examine the Bechor and Yontif, you try to convince him to examine the Bechor and Yontif. Why don't you want to agree with Rav Shimon? So he says, and why do you want me to support Rav Shimon's view? So he says, because I heard the Rav Zeira said, Halach Rav Shimon. And since I heard the Rav Zeira saying that we should follow Rav Shimon, that's why I think you should allow these Rabbanim who want to follow Rav Shimon's view to continue in that way. Amar Mandahu. So it was one of the Talmidim there who heard this dialogue. He said, Eskive Ezglahasam, Halavai, I should be worthy to go to Eretz Yisrael, the Egra L'Shmaitz Mepumei Demara. And that I should be able to hear from Rav Zeira directly what he indeed holds, if you may or may not examine a Bechor and Yontif. Kisolak l'hosam. So we arrive in Eretz Yisrael. Ashkechel Rav Zeira. We see here somebody wants something, especially in Ruchnius, that he wants to be able to go to Eretz Yisrael to meet a Rav. HaKadosh Baruch Hu fulfills his wish. Kisolak l'hosam. Ashkechel Rav Zeira. He met Rav Zeira. Amamar halok Rav Shimon. So he asked him, did you say that the halacha is like Rav Shimon? Amalei loy. So he said, I never said explicitly the halacha is like Rav Shimon. What I said was, ano mistabra amri. I said it makes sense to say the halacha is like Rav Shimon. I didn't give a definitive ruling. What pushes me in that direction? Midik tarim emes nisin, since we learned in our Mishnah, Rav Shimon aymer, Rav Shimon is the mandom that says, kol she'en mumen nikim vajoyim, if it was not declared a Baal Mum from Erev Yontif, ein zemun amuchin. Like we explained from Taisus yesterday, Rav Shimon holds that that animal becomes muksa, and we cannot examine it or declare a Baal Mum and Yontif. V'ktonama b'braisa. And then I learned a braisa. And the braisa, when repeating this position, that a mum may not be examined on Yontif, didn't say it was Rav Shimon's position. The Braisa quoted it as the position of the Chachamim. The Braisa quoted as the sheet of the Chachamim. Shmamina, so it's not just Rav Shimon holding this way, it's the Chachamim, the Rabbim, the majority of Rabbonim holding that way. And that's why, Mestaber Kavasei, that's why I said it makes sense that the Halacha should be like Rav Shimon. Ask the Pnei Yeshua, if the Braisa is quoting this position as the position of the Chachamim, and we always passing like the Chachamim, so that should be an excellent proof. Why is he only saying Mestaber Kavasei? It makes sense to say that. So the Pnei Yeshua answers, as we know throughout Shas, Braises weren't always 100% authoritative. The wording of a Braise can somewhat be not 100%. So yes, the Braise quotes this position as being the position of Chachamim. But since we can't always necessarily follow what a Braise says, yes, that's probably what the Braise meant, and that's probably what we should do. But to say definitively that the Halacha must be like Rav Shimon, like based on the wording of the Braise, that's not something we can do. So the Gemara says, "My Havala." The Gemara is looking for a definitive ruling. So what's the? Maybe we can find a definitive ruling what the Halacha is. Amar Rav Yosef. So Rav Yosef attempts from this way. Toshma, the Talya ba'ashli ravari. He, Rav Shimon Shita, that we're not allowed to look at the mum on Yontif, is tied to great people. And like the Gemara says, Masechta Pesachim, Haroitzel Chonik, if somebody wants that his word should be accepted, Yitla Be'ilan Godel, he should say, he should have his position be consistent with the position of somebody great, and based on that, we'll know that he's right. What makes us say that Shimon's position, that we're not allowed to examine Bechorim on Yontif, is tied to a position of great people? The Amr of Shimon Pazi, Amr of Shimon Belevi, Amr of Yosef Ben Shol, Amr Rebbe, Mishim Kehila Kadisha B'Yerushalayim. There was a group of very important Tanoim. We already said, why were they called Kehila Kadisha? Some say because they spent a third of the day learning, a third of the day davening, and a third of the day working. Another pshat is, in those times, their main source of income was agriculture. So in the summer, they were busy in the fields. So these people in the field, they were busy in the summer working. That's when they made their panasa. But in the winter, when there was nothing to do, they didn't waste their time. They sat and learned. They said, Rav Shimon Chaverov, Amr Halach Krameya. Rav Shimon is like Rameya. So we're going to learn the Gemara the way Rashi explains the Gemara. Amru, V'anu Kishishim Menetuva. What we have here is that the Kehila Kadisha, these great early Tanoim, a paskening like Rav Shimon. Ask the Gemara, the later generations could say we paskening like the earlier generations. The earlier generations don't say we paskening like the later generations. So how do we have here, ask the Gemara, that the Kehila Kadisha is saying that we're paskening like Rav Shimon? How could that be? They wouldn't say that we paskening like a later generation. Ella, what was the statement they were making? The statement they were making, explains Rabbi Yossi, was b'shitas Rameya Amrua. That when Rav Shimon said that you're not allowed to examine these b'chayrim on Yontif, it wasn't just his own position. He was basing his position on something Rameya said. So, and we'll see in a moment what Rameya said. So, if so, it's not just now a machloikus of Rav Shimon and Rav Yehuda. It's machloikus of Rav Shimon and Rameya versus Rav Yehuda. And therefore, even if we have a machloikus, as we learned earlier, between Rav Shimon and Rav Yehuda, we go with Rav Yehuda, that's now when Rameya corroborates Rav Shimon. What is it that Rameya said that the Kehila Kadisha was commenting seems to corroborate Rav Shimon's position? The Tanan. There's a Mishnah Masechta Bechoros. Hashoiches Bechor, we know that a Bechor, we have to declare it a Bal Mum, and then we could check it. What happens, discusses the Mishnah, if somebody did the reverse. Hashoiches Bechor, first he checks the Bechor, and then v'achakach heres mumay, and then he decides to examine it. Yehuda matter, Yehuda says, if I see that it was a Bal Mum, true, it should have been done the other way, but it's acceptable. Ramei Oimer, Ramei said, hoyo b'nishchot shloi api mumcha, if when we shechted it, it wasn't declared a Bal Mum, but a Mumcha, it's unacceptable. A Alma. Now we need to understand what is the basis of Ramea's position. Yes, of course the Mumcha should look at it before the Shechita. But why if he looked at it afterwards and he determined that it was a Bal Mum, is it unacceptable? Because Kesav Ramea, and this is the way the Pnei Yeshua, really the Meiri, explained the Gemara. Kesav Ramea, Rias Bechor Lav Kriyas Treifa. When a Mumcha examines a Bechor, if it's a Bal Mum, it's not the same like when a Rav is paskening if a piece of meat is kosher treif. Rias Bechor Michayim. Examining the Bechor has to be done while it's still alive. Rias Treifa Lach HaShechita. What do you call a treifa could be looked at any time. Umino, and we extrapolate from that. Rias treifa fil b'yontif. A treifa could be examined even on yontif. Rias b'chor mi'erev yontif. And a b'chor can't be examined on yontif. Why? So that's, as I said, the Pnei Yeshua and the Meiri teach us. As we said in the previous year, when somebody comes to a rov and asks him, is a piece of meat kosher, is a treif? The rov isn't deciding the status of something. He's telling you halacha. You're allowed to eat it. You're not allowed to eat it. When a chacham, when a yochid mumcha is paskening, if a bechor is a bal mum, he's determining the status of this animal. A bechor is hagdish. A bechor bal mum is chulin. Changing a status is a lot more than just paskening a shayla. And therefore, paskening a shayla may be done on yontif. Changing a status, like we explained from Rashi yesterday, is in the category of misakin. It's in the category of donas adin. That may not be done on yontif. Says Rameya, you can't change the status of Bechor after it's dead. It's already dead. And therefore, says Rameya, if you didn't declare the Bal Mum before you shechted it, it's too late after you shechted it. But what is the basis of Rameya's psak? Just to get to the point. That paskening on a Bechor is a status issue. What is the basis of Rav Shimon's psak? Why you're not allowed to look at a Bechor on Yontif? Because it's a status issue. So Rameya and Rav Shimon are saying the exact same thing. Paskening on a Bechor is deciding the status of a Bechor, which may not, and therefore, it's not just Rav Shimon saying what he said, it's Rameya saying the same thing. And that's why we pass on like Rav Shimon, because Rav Meir corroborates his shita. They both work that declaring a Bechor Bal Mum is a very significant issue. It's the issue of status. Says the Gemara, Omle Abaya, says Abaya, who says that that's the way to interpret what the Kila Kadisha said? Ota Hosom Beroy Mumin Kompligi. Who said that the machloikis between Rameh and Rabbi Yehuda evolves around, is paskening on Bechor a status issue? Perhaps it's something else. But ask the Pnei Yeshua, ask the Sfasemis, what brought us to this position? What brought us to this place that Rameh, that was saying that Rav Shimon and Rameh are saying the same? Because we had a kasha. If Rav Shimon and Rameh are not saying the same, what is pshat in the statement that the Kila Kadisha made? The Kila Kadisha made a statement that Rav Shimon, we hold like Rav Shimon. And then the Gemara said, that can't be what they said, because they were earlier, they were greater. So he said they were just making a comment. You should know that Rav Shimon and Rameya are in the same shita. But if Abaya doesn't agree with that, and Abaya holds that that wasn't shot in the Kila Kadisha's comment, and it has nothing to do there if Shimon and Rameh necessarily travel together. So what were they saying? So the Pnei Yeshua says a very nice answer. Pnei Yeshua says, Abaya certainly agrees that Rav Shimon, that the Kila Kadisha was saying that Rav Shimon said his psak because that's what he thought Rameh was saying also. So now we have a problem. How does Rebbe disagree with that? Says Abaya, it's not a kasha on Rebbe, because Abaya says that that statement is wrong. And you don't necessarily have to hold, as we'll explain in a moment, that Rav Shimon and Rameya are based on the same concept. We'll show you that Rav Shimon is one concept, and Rameya is another concept, and therefore Rav Shimon cannot use Rameya to corroborate their position. So in other words, the Kehillah Kedisha was saying that Rav Shimon and Rav Meir are one concept, says the Pnei Yeshua. And that's what they meant with their statement. But Rebbe is not subject to that understanding, because as Abayos tell us, Rebbe has a different understanding of the Machloikis between Rav Meir and Rav Yehuda regarding examining a Bechor after it was Geshachten, which has nothing to do with the Machloikis, if Roy Mum Beyontif or not. That's the Pnei Yeshua's Teretz. Sfasemis has a different Teretz. Sfasemis says that Abaye says Rav Yossi misunderstood what the Kehillah Kedisha said. Abaye understood, Rav Yossi understood that the Kehillah Kedisha was connecting Rav Shimon's position and Rav Meir's position. Says the Sfasemis, that's not what they ever said. All they said was, there's a machloikus, Rav Meir and Rav Yehuda, and we hold like Rav Meir. They weren't commenting on the machloikus of Roy Mum and Beyond for that. And that was Abaye saying to Rav Yossi, you misunderstood what they said, and that got you into this misunderstanding. So what is the machloikis, according to Abaye, between Rav Shimon and Yehuda, if you're allowed to examine a Bechor after the Shechita? It's a different machloikis altogether. Beknasa pligi. They're arguing there's a person who does look at a mum after the Shechita deserve to be punished, so to speak, that Bechor should never be allowed to eat him. And explains the Gemara. Dam Rabba Bechana Om Rab Yochan. Bedukin Shiba'ayin. One of the mumin, one of the blemishes that disqualify Bechor, are dukin shiba'ayin, cataracts. Dukin shiba'ayin, says the Gemara, kulam le'pligi, the osir. Everybody agrees that if you examine the Bechor after it was killed for the cataracts, that certainly is unacceptable. Why? Mishunda mishtanim. The facts are that the eyes change after death. So seeing the eyes after death is no indication of how they looked before the animal was geshachtim. Ki pligi, where is the machlokus of Rav Meir and Rav Yehuda? Mum shebeguf. Let's say it's missing a leg. Missing a leg, again, that it shouldn't be a treifa, otherwise it's anyway not mutter. Missing a leg doesn't change before death and after death. Rav Meir sava, gazrina mum shebeguf, ot mum shebeayin. We say that if the chacham only inspects the bechor after it's slaughtered, it's unacceptable. Because if we're going to say it's acceptable, he may even come to examine cataracts, which we just said everybody agrees cannot be done after death. Yehuda Sava Legazrinim. Cataracts can't be examined after death, but that shouldn't disqualify a different type of examination. So according to this, the Machloikus of Main Rabbi Yehuda has nothing to do with the Machloikus of Shimon and Rebbe regarding Roy Mumin Beyontif. And therefore, says Abaye, you can't say that Rabbi Shimon is right, because Rav Meir corroborates his position, because Rav Meir is machlokes with Rabbi Yehuda regarding killing a Bechor before examination and declaration has nothing to do with examining on Yontif. As Tosfos makes an interesting observation. First, the Gemara says that why did Rav Meir say that if you examine the Bechor only after you shecht it, it's unacceptable? So the Gemara uses the word knas. What does knas mean? It's a punishment. It's a fine. Then the Gemara says that it's a gzeira. It's a decree. There's a very big nafkamina the Rishonim say if it's a knas or it's a decree. Two nafkaminas. A punishment, the only person that deserves a punishment is somebody who did something intentionally wrong. So if this person intentionally decided to look at the Bechor after the Shechita, he deserves a knas. But let's say I didn't come to the Daf Yomi Shir. So I don't know that you're not allowed to look. And I thought you could look before, you could look after. What's the difference? I don't deserve a punishment. So that's one question. Another point Tosfos makes is that we have a rule throughout Shas, halacha kremeya b'zeroysof, avaloy b'knosof. Remeya makes a decree that we follow. If he makes a knas, that we don't necessarily follow. So is it a knas or is it a gzeira? So it's a machlokes rishonim. Rashi and Tosfos hold it's a knas. I'm correct, and therefore we don't pass him like Remei because we don't pass him like Remei in his knasos. The Ramban holds it's a gzeira. Why does the Gemara call it a knas? Says the Ramban, it started as a knas, but then it evolved into a gzeira. So we still don't have a definitive proof of a definitive answer to our shaila. Who do we pass on like Rav Shimon or Rav Yehuda? Aram Nachma Yitzchak Masnis Nami Deika. We'll prove it from our Mishnah. The Tani Rameya Oimer said in our Mishnah, I prove to you again, not to our Shaila, I prove to you that the reasoning of Rameya has nothing to do that Paskin in a Bechor is a declaration. Rather, it's a Gzeira Knas, because look at the Lashon. Hoyal v'nishcha shloya pul mumcha. Why did you shechta before getting a declaration? If Rameya meant that it's a declaration that has to be done from life, he should have, what do you have to say? It should have just said, Rameya Oimer Oyser. The fact that he adds the words, Hoyal v'nishcha shloya pul mumcha, it's showing because it's a Knas, a Gzeira, that he shouldn't have shechted it before he got this psak. Shmamina knasahu de kakonis, shmamina, and we can't connect these two machlaikasim. Says the Gemara, Ami Vardinor. Rashi says two pshatim in Vardinor. One pshat is that he was from the city of Vardina. Another pshat is that his face was beautiful, like a verid, like a rose. Chaz the Brooker de Bein Siyahava. He was the official examiner of the Bechayrim by the Nasi. B'yom Tavim, on Yontif, he didn't want to examine Bechayra. Osva Amleiler of Ami. Amlu Shabka Ovid, the Loi Chazi. He's doing the right thing that he doesn't examine on Yontif. Ask the Gemara, why is he doing the right thing? Any for Rav Ami Gufi Chazi. Rav Ami himself used to examine Bechayra on Yontif. Says the Gemara, Rav Ami Ki Chazi, Miasmo Havik Chazi. And there's Machlak to show him how to understand this Gemara. Rav Ami, Erev Yontif, we all can relate to this, we're very busy. To start examining and declaring a Bechor Erev Yontif is not the time. So some Rishonim say that Rav Ami, as we're going to learn on the Beis, that when the Chacham paskins that the Bechor is a Balmum, it's not just declaring it's a Balmum or not. There's a whole examination, because we have to make sure that the Kohen did not purposely damage the Bechor. Erev Yontif, Rav Ami was very busy. So some Rishonim say that all he would do on Erev Yontif is look at the Bechor, decide if it was a Balmum, not make any declaration, and then on Yontif, when he had more time, he would do the entire investigation. Others learn, this is the way the Arzarua learns, that he actually made the declaration on Erev Yontif, because you're not allowed to make the declaration on Yontif, but the declaration, so to speak, was based on a condition that I have to complete my investigation, and therefore, Ubi Yontif, Shiula Kamishail, on Yontif he would conduct the investigation, Hecha Hava Ovda. Exactly, how did this Bechor become a Balmum? Explains the Gemara. Kahuda Hu Gavra. There was this person, the Aisa Burchala Kamei de Rava, a Panya Mal de Yomtov. He brought a Bechor to Rava to examine it, Erev Yontif. Hava Yosef Rava Vekochayev Reshei, and it's Erev Yontif, and Rava was taking a shower. He didn't have time to examine. So what he did was, Dalia Enei, he looked at it, V'chazi Yilamume, he examined the Mum, and he didn't say anything more, or maybe just decided but didn't make a declaration. And he said, Amalei Zil Ha'idna V'Salamachar, I saw what I have to see, come back tomorrow. Actually, the Mefarshim proved from here, there's a Mechloikas Rishonim, if the Dinah Bechor is only in Eretz Yisrael, or even a Chutz Laretz. Most Rishonim say it's everywhere. It's not a mitzvah tluya baretz, a mitzvah negehagas baretz. But there's an interesting Rambam. The Rambam says that it only is in Eretz Yisrael. So they ask, isn't this a clear proof that it's even in Chutz Laretz? Rava lived in Chutz Laretz. Rav Ami lived in Chutz Laretz. So there's a Miches Chinuch. Miches Chinuch has a different girsa than the Rambam. He says that the Rambam doesn't mean to say that Bechor doesn't apply in Chutz Laretz. The Rambam holds that Bechor doesn't apply midoraisa in Chutz Laretz. It's only midrabbanan. So this Gemara is not according to the Miches Chinuch Akash on the Rambam. Kios lemacher. So now this person came back the next day. Exactly what happened. There were barley on one side of the fence. The animal was on the other side of the fence. The animal wanted to eat those barley. So he stuck his head in through the fence. And the fence ripped his lip. Like the Mefarshim explained, it ripped it that it should become a mum kavua, permanent damage. So he asked him, and maybe you were the one that caused that. Amalei loy. I didn't do it. It happened on its own. Umenot tamer de gram also. Ask the Gemara, and if you caused it, how do we know it's Asr? The Tanya, Mum La Yibai. The Bukhar is only Bukhar if it doesn't have a blemish. Ainli Elish La Yibai. That's not allowed to have a damage. How do we know that you're not even caused the Bukhar to have a damage? Shlayavi Batsek Odvela. You shouldn't ping a piece of dough or fruit. Put it on the Bukhar's ear. Kadesh Yova Kelvit Lena, that the dog will come and bite it off, and bite off his ear and make him a bal mum. Tamlam kol mum. Amr mum, the Torah could have written the word mum. Vama kol mum, that not only are you not allowed to make a damage, you're not allowed to even cause a damage. So that's why Rava looked at the Bukhar Erev Yontif, decided it was a bal mum. But he also had to decide if the Kohen was the one that caused it. Because if the Kohen caused it, then he wouldn't let the Kohen use that Bukhar. And therefore, he didn't have time for the examination on Yontif, on Erev Yontif. The actual investigation, he saved for Yontif. So there's a few points. First of all, the Machloikas HaPoiskim is this drasha a full-fledged drasha? Because we know usually in Halacha, a Grumma is not Osir. Is this an exception that Grumma is Osir, or is this only in a Smachta? It's Machloikas HaPoiskim. Another question they ask is how is he conducting the investigation? He asked the Kohen, did you make it happen, or did it happen on its own? So how could you trust the Kohen? He's a Negeva Dover. He's partial. So I saw two answers to that question. One answer is, the Gemara doesn't go through all the details, but indeed, he says, it's not just enough that you should say so, you have to bring witnesses that you didn't do it. Or another pshat is like this, and it goes back to what we said a moment ago. Midaraisa, the only thing that's usher is causing to actually damage the animal. Grumma is only usher midarabonim. So all the Kohen had to prove was that he didn't cause the actual damage. That it was that he didn't do a grumma, since a grumma is only usher midarabonim, if he says so, we believe him, he doesn't have to bring Adam. The Rishash points out, to show how far we have to be careful, he says, it's very unlikely that you'll put a dough on an animal's ear and then a dog will come and bite it off. It's a pretty extraordinary case. But how far we have to be careful that the Kohen should not cause the mum. The Rechsam Sofer makes two interesting observations based on Rashi and the Gemara. First of all, he says, Rashi says it, but this is the way Chassam Sofer and the Azaru explain, that a Kohen could say, you know what? I don't want the mum. I don't want the Bukhar. Don't give me a Bukhar that's not about mum. It's only a headache. Says the Chassam Sofer, and Rashi really says it, that once the animal is 3 months old, there's a din that the Yisrael gives it to the Kohen, and the Kohen can't refuse. So now the Kohen is stuck. He has this animal, he can't do anything with it. Like we learned yesterday, Bizman said that we don't have a base of Middash to bring it to. That's why we're concerned that the Kohanim don't want to be stuck with it, and therefore will end up causing it to become a Bal Mum in order not to be sitting with it. But the Chassam Sofer makes another interesting observation. He says that the Kohanim are accused of making damages. So Rashi says, because it's a big bother that you have to keep this animal in your backyard, you have to feed it and take care of it, and you can't do anything with it. Ask the Chassam Sofer, why doesn't Rashi say simple? I have an animal in my backyard, and I want to eat it, and I can't because it's not a bal mum. Says the Chassam Sofer, look at the way Rashi looked at Jews. Rashi would never accuse a Jew that just because I want to eat the animal, I'm going to do an aveira. That no Jew would do that, says the Chassam Sofer. Rashi's teaching us. It's only because the person has a trouble that he's stuck and he has to take care of this animal. And who knows how long this will take. That's why we accuse him. But just because he wants to eat the animal, no Jew will do an aveira just because he wants to eat a good steak. Says the Mishnah. Behema shemesa, an animal that died, lo yizenem mekoyma. It's muksa. Says the Mishnah. A mice of a shalos of Tarfin Alea, they came and asked Rav Tarfin regarding an animal that died. Valchala shenitmas, we know that chala becomes tame. It has to be burnt. The nichnas lebeis medrash v'shol, he came to the beis medrash and he asked, The muksa, they can't be touched. They can't be moved. So, there's a big machloikus rashi in Tosfos in this understanding of the Gemara. Chalash of the mass, what's the halacha? You'll let it burn it. So Rashi and Tosfos both ask, on Yontov you'll let it make a fire. And the halacha is the fire you make to burn chalot tamei you'll let it have anor from. So why can't we just make a fire on Yontov and use it for fuel on Yontov? So there's machlokes Rashi and Tosfos how to answer that shayla. Rashi says that although oichel nefesh is mutter on Yontov, still this halacha that chalot that's tamei is burnt is a special din. It's not just oichel nefesh. It's called melacha. And that melacha, the Torah didn't give us a heter to do on Yontif. That's how Rashi explains. Taisa says, if we knew for sure that the fire you're going to use l'tzayruch Yontif, then we would allow you to burn the challah tamei on Yontif. We're concerned that if we're going to allow you to burn it on Yontif, you may use it shaloi l'tzayruch. And therefore, Chazal said, don't touch it, wait with it till after Yontif. Says the Megina Shloima, beautiful Megina Shloima. What is the basis of the Machlaikas of Rashi and Taisus? So he goes back to something we learned in the previous parak. We learned that there's a concept of Beis Hillel that we follow that says, Mitoich shehutra l'tzayruch, hutra nami shaloi l'tzayruch. And we learned the Machlaikas, Rashi and Taisus, how to understand that. Rashi says, the Midah Raisa, if the Torah says you're allowed to do malacha, you're always allowed to do it. Taisus says, no, the Torah allows you to do malacha, but it has to have a tzayruch, or some tzayruch. If it does no tzayruch at all, the Torah never gave you a heter. So Rashi couldn't learn Taisus's pshat. What a Taisus's pshat is, they were concerned you may burn it for no reason at all. But according to Rashi, there's nothing wrong with that, midaraisa. So that's why Rashi had to come up with a new pshat. What was the pshat? That this is called a malacha, and on this malacha there is no heter in the Torah that you're allowed to do it on Shabbos. That you're allowed to do it on Yontif, I mean. But Taisus subscribed to his old shita. That anything that's not done for a purpose is asur on Yontif. And that's why Chazal said, we won't let you burn the challah tamei because you may come to burn it for no purpose, which is asur on Yontif. Says the Gemara, Leimet nan stam deloik Reb Shimon. So we say that our Mishnah doesn't follow Reb Shimon's position. As we know, Reb Shimon has a more, as we said so many times, Reb Shimon has a very lenient view to Muksa, and he doesn't apply it so broadly. So it says, perhaps our Mishnah doesn't follow Reb Shimon. So Mefarshim will point out that we already said on the first blot of this Masechta, remember, that in Yontav we follow Reb Yehuda. So what's the problem to say it doesn't go like Reb Shimon? So Mefarshim say, Enochanami. But the Gemara just wants to evaluate what is the din. That's one pshat I saw. Another pshat that I saw is the Gemara proves from a Mishnah in the next perek that we follow like Rabbi Yehuda in Hilchas Muksa on Yontif. So the Gemara is asking, why do I have to wait for Mishnah in the next perek? Why can't this Mishnah be a proof that we don't follow Rabbi Shimon? Why? Tanan, we learned the Mishnah Masechta Shabbos. Rabbi Shimon ayim mechatech sadlun lefnei behema. This has nothing to do with Muksa. Are you allowed to cut up a cucumber for behema on Yontif? It's a shayla and tircha. The next question is, if it's a nevela lefnei, so Rabbi Shimon says you may, and the next thing is it's a nevela lefnei klovim. What does Rabbi Shimon hold? An animal that was live and well, bein hashmashes, is going to, under simple circumstances, going to be used for people. If the animal dies, now it's not usable for people, it's a nevela. So if Shimon holds, muchen l'odom, if it was designated for people, it's also muchen l'klovim. And therefore, can be used on Shabbos Yontif. If when Shabbos began, it was alive and was designated for human use, asura. Why? Because according to Rabbi Yehuda, muchen la'adam, if something is meant for people's use, lo yavam muchen la'klavim, and therefore it's mutksa, because on Shabbos I can't do anything with a live animal. So here we see that Rabbi Shimon says that a live animal at the beginning of Shabbos, the beginning of Yontav, is not muksa. So why is the halacha in our Mishnah that a behema dies? It's muksa according to Reb Shimon. Why is it muksa? It must be that our Mishnah is going according to Reb Yehuda. Says the Gemara, Filo Taimer Reb Shimon. It could be going even according to Reb Shimon. Because Moed Reb Shimon Bal Chaim Shemesu, Reb Shimon agrees that an animal that dies, Shesurim. because explains Rashi that according to this version, Rav Shimon only holds an animal is not muksa if the animal was sick. So the person was expecting that the animal will die. So Hani Khalamaber Mishmeh the Rav Dhamma Maidar Bishim Balchaim Shemesa Shun Shapir. He agrees that the muksa, only if they were only almost dead. Otherwise he agrees that muksa. So our Mishnah is not talking about such an animal. El Mabred Rav Yos Mishmeh the Rav. Dhamma Khalakai Rav Shimon Afila Balchaim Shemesu. Every animal, even if it was well, if it dies on Shabbos Yontif, Shemutarin, Michael Maimer. Again, what's the kasha? Our Mishnah is saying that if the animal dies, it's muksa, lo yizuzena. And according to Mabred Rav Yosef's explanation of Shimon, every animal is not muksa. So how can we understand the Mishnah according to that? It must be that our Mishnah is not going according to Rav Shimon. Says the Afikayam. We have a beautiful Afikayam. We have here machlokes how to understand Rav Shimon. One shita holds that only Rav Shimon holds that an animal that was sick before Shabbos is not muksa, another animal is muksa. And the other shita holds that every animal is not muksa. What is the understanding of this machlokes in Rav Shimon? Says the Afikayam. The shita that holds that Rav Shimon only allows the animal that was sick, only that animal is not muksa, holds that Rav Shimon requires hachana, just like Rav Yehuda requires. He may require less hachana than Rav Yehuda, but he also requires hachana. So therefore, a live animal that's not sick, that there's no reason you're making it for the dog, is muksa. Only an animal that's sick, that you're expecting it to die, that you're making for the dog because you expect it to die on Yontif. The other Shita has even a more lenient view on Rav Shimon. According to Rav Shimon, according to that view, Hachon is never required. And therefore, even if the animal is alive and well, since it may die, and when it's died, it's going to be used for dog food, it's not muksa. We said so many times, as recently as yesterday, that Rav Shimon does sometimes subscribe to muksa. Says the Fikayam, according to this Shita, the only time Rav Shimon subscribes to muksa is by something that was dachi b'yadayim. Not just that I wasn't making it. I pushed it away. What was the example we gave yesterday? Gregers with smukum. I put it up to the roof to dry and it's inedible. That Rav Shimon will agree is muksa. But according to this view, Rav Shimon doesn't require any achana. So ask the Gemara back to where we started, if Rav Shimon holds that every animal is not muksa, why does he hold that, why is our Mishnah hold that if an animal dies in Yontif it's muksa? Tergum is the Iri, the Behemoth Kachim. Our Mishnah is talking about Behemoth Kachim, and like Tosfos explains, since it's Behemoth Kachim, and by Kachim we always have a concept of Bezoyin Kachim, that maybe we'll treat Kachim different, therefore even though normally an animal is muksa, here maybe we shouldn't treat it that way. Dekanami, and what's the proof? The Tani Allah Val Chal Shnitmas. What's the next case in the Mishnah? Chal Dagat Tomei. Ma Chal de Kedisha. Just like Chal is Kaidish, Apahem de Kedisha. So what do we see from here? The why should it be different? Because it's Kaidish. El Tam de Kedisha. El Had Chulin. But if it's Chulin, Sharia. If it's Chulin, then the halacha will be that it's certainly not Muksa. Ask the Gemara. Hanich lemabreder of Yosef Mishmei the Rava, the Hamacholakay of Shem after Balachaim Shemesu, that any animal that dies is not muksa. So that's why if it's chulin, it's not muksa according to Rav Shimon. Cholakay of Shem after Balachaim Shemesu mitarim shapir. However, ask the Gemara, lemabreder of Meimim Mishmei the Rava, the Hamaydai of Shem Balachaim Shemesu shasurin, that he agrees that animals that were healthy, if they die on Shabbos Yontif the Muksa, and we're extrapolating from our Mishnah that's only by Hegdash he holds that way, not by Chulin, how will we be able to explain our Mishnah? Ma'ikla Meimer answers the Gemara, Hocha Ma'iskina v'misukenes v'divrei HaKol. We finished explaining that according to Rav Shimon, if the animal is sick, it's certainly not Muksa. And that's how we'll explain our Mishnah. If the animal is Chulin and it's sick, everybody agrees that Rav Shimon holds it's not Muksa. and our Mishnah is a muksa because it's kachim and we can't use it for dog food. Everybody else, and therefore it doesn't evolve around the machlokes how you understand Reb Shimon's view towards animals being muksa or not. Even if you hold Reb Shimon will hold that a healthy animal is muksa, here we're talking about a sick animal. And the only difference is that a sick animal is not muksa unless it's hegdish because it can't be used for dog food. And again, the Mefarshim will point out, this entire Gemara is only if you want to try to fit the Mishnah according to Reb Shimon. But as we said on Daf Beis, as far as Hilchus Muksa and Yontif, we pass on like Reb Yehuda, so this whole discussion is really academic. The halacha is that on Shabbos, Yontif, we're not allowed to do business. Moreover, they lived in a time when there were no refrigerators and freezers. So they didn't slaughter an animal and put the pieces into the refrigerator freezer. When they slaughtered an animal, the whole animal was had to be sold beforehand, because otherwise they can't do anything with the leftover pieces. Says the Mishnah, "Ein nimnan al behem l'chatchila b'yontif." You're not allowed to make a deal on yontif, because as we just said, mekach u'memker is also in yontif. So yontif, we can't have a situation that people get together and say, "I'll buy $10 worth of meat, you'll buy $15 worth of meat," and like that we take care of meat. Am nimnan lem erev yontif. So the way most Mefarshim explain the Mishnah is like this. If the process began already Erev Yontif, and now we want to expand the group, that may be done in Yontif. You can't start a group with this type of a situation in Yontif, but to expand an existing group is permitted. And now a lot of the halach is, let's say you didn't have a group prepared before Yontif, and you want to have meat on Yontif. So what they could do is, the shaykhdim, what they're allowed to do is that they could shech the animal on Yontif, as long as the group doesn't decide amongst itself what monetary percentage everybody will get, that's permissible. Explains the Gemara. Maya ein nimnim. What does it mean that you're not allowed to do this? Am Yudam Shmuel ein poiskim domim lechatchila behem b'yontif. To go and take an animal that nobody discussed before Yontif, and now on Yontif start cutting it up and deciding you'll get this much value, I'll get that much value, is prohibited. Hey Chiyov, what may you do? Amar Rav, maybe Shtei Behemus, the butcher could bring two animals, or Mamidim Zu Eitzel Zu, they take the two animals, and he says, these two animals look identical. Yeah. Vayim Zu Kazu, and then, divide up the animal. Everybody get their share on Yontif. And then after Yontif, we'll know what the value of the animal that was killed is, because we still have the live animal that is identical, so we could appraise its value. And then, based on the percent that you took on Yontif, that much you'll have to pay. So let's say I have two animals, and they look at the same. So we're now allowed to talk money on Yontif. And the Mefarshim say, the Chiddush of the Mishnah is that not only are you not allowed to talk money, a buyer and a seller, here we're dealing with a whole group. And the group isn't talking money. Moreover, what's the reason that you're not allowed to do business? One of the reasons you're not allowed to do business is Shemi Yichtoiv. You may come to transcribe the deal. Here there's not going to be any transcription because there are a lot of people that are part. Still, you're not allowed to mention money on Yontif. So what we do is, we take the animal and we divide it up. We take two animals so we know what the animal we took looks like, because we'll forget till after Yontif. We divide that animal up. Everybody gets a certain percentage. Then after Yontif, we take the live animal. We appraise its value. And then based on the percentage of what you had, that's how much you have to pay for your share. Tanya nami hachi. L'yoyim adam l'chaveri. Hanenim chavisela. I'm going to take a seller worth of meat. Hareniyim chabishtayim. I'll take two seller worth of meat. I'm going to take 50%, 30%, 25%. Now we know the value of the animal because we have the live animal. And like that, we can decide how much you have to pay after Yontif. Mefarshim say, when we divide up the animal according to percentages, two halachas I saw. Again, it's not that relevant. La'aloch la'maisa. Just to Rishonim point this out. It should not be done with a goyrel. In other words, we shouldn't cut up pieces and then divide them up through a lottery. Again, because doing a lottery in Yontif looks like Mekach u'Memker. Another halacha is that even this, there is a component of Mekach HaMemkar, even if money is not being mentioned. So why are we being lenient? The Tzairich Simchas Yontif. So therefore, said Rishonim, we can only be lenient if the entire group is Jews. So they all have an obligation of Simchas Yontif. But let's say you have a group comprised of Jews and Goyim. So you don't have the head of Simchas Yontif. There's no din of Simchas Yontif for a Goyim. So you can't do this Eitzim.
Thank you.